الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد وبرزيز دوتو الله لما يسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم his companions and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. Continuing with the Dawah enhancement classes, particularly the area of misconceptions about Islam. And by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have been dealing with a number of issues. In our last week's session, we had a little conflict with the Hindus. But by the grace of Allah, many brothers emailed me plenty of material, actually, that did prove some of the extreme views held by the Hindus in terms of execution and things of this nature. So there are things out there. I did not wish to elaborate on them or bring them here and show them to everyone. I figured if anyone is interested, then I could email him this information by him emailing me at onewaytoparadise@gmail.com. I could forward you what material I received from the brothers concerning Hinduism and the execution and, you know, so on and so forth, because we have dealt with that. Tonight, inshallah, we'll be dealing with a very, very, very strong misconception against Islam held by the disbelievers. And it is that of sectarianism. Sectarianism has to do with sect. Sect is like a denomination, a group. And very often, a caste. Okay. You mean in the Hindus? We're not dealing with the Hindus anymore. Right? This is a... We're speaking about, you know, like a brother. Like you have one group, and then among the group you'd have different people branching off. These are called sects. And consequently we have the word sectarianist, sectarianism, and people who have the tendency to develop and make sects among the Muslims. But the issue that we have is, and the very common question that a kafir will ask you, he will say, you claim, Muslim, that you have one Quran, unchanged, and you have the Sunnah, right? So then why is there Shia? Why are there Shia? Why are there Sufis? Why are there such and such? Why is there this Jama'ah, and that Jama'ah, and that Jama'ah? And, you know, the list goes on. What? What do you say? You say you have one Quran, right? Never changed? Yeah, yeah, that's what we say. Sunnah preserved? Yeah, it's preserved. Alhamdulillah. Bukhari, Muslim, everything. Tayyib. So why are you guys differing?
Misunderstanding of
Islam.
Misunderstanding of
the deen. Misunderstanding of the deen. Okay, that's a point. Remember that one. Any other points? How can you answer this properly? We need an answer. Okay, a kafir comes to you and says, your religion you claim is the correct religion, is the true religion of God, right? Your revelation has been preserved. But I look at the Muslim world and I see them fighting, I see them disagreeing, I see them calling each other names, you're right, I'm wrong, I'm right, you're wrong, you know, different groups, everybody claiming the truth is with us. Why? If your religion was correct, why are you differing?
Ignorance.
Lack of knowledge. So you just tell him lack of knowledge? No, we want to give him an answer. Now I would understand you, right? But these classes are aimed at da'wah, meaning in a situation you may be sitting with some educated people, you know, who may be visiting this country from another country, Christians, Hindus, whatever, and this question may be presented to you, and you need to have an answer. I mean, you need to be able to give something that is convincing. I mean, tell them ignorance, say, okay, yeah, well, you know, that's not an answer. I understand you, but for a kafir, ignorance what? Lack of knowledge what?
Deviation from Quran is counter. Ask a counter question and I can give him a counter example. Even in your religion, thinking that I'm believing on God and goodness, if you have the same thing, you have to also have a different sector, but the thing is, you don't judge the religion by its follower.
You see, this is correct. But here's the issue now. The issue is that we say to the non-Muslims, you don't have any reliable references. You don't have any preserved revelation. We are different than you, right? So then they say, okay, then why do you have the same problems we do? They will tell you, I admit. But they will say, according to you, our resources are inauthentic. But they will tell you as a Muslim, but according to you, your references are authentic. So why do you suffer from the same problem I suffer from?
That is what I am trying to say. How the people get the knowledge, get the concept of thinking. I understand the religion from one side, different, or because of personal achievement or personal level, I use the thing, I use the religion for the personal achievements. And a quality requirement of hearing.
Okay, that's a good argument. Anything else?
Deviation from Quran and Sunnah.
Okay, he will tell you how. How do we know who deviated? We have two groups, right? The Shia will say that you and I and the Sunnis deviated from the Quran and the Sunnah because we don't glorify Ahlul Bayt as we're supposed to, and we don't declare disbelief against the Sahaba. So they will say, we have deviated from the Quran and the Sunnah. And we will say, no, you deviated from the Quran and the Sunnah. So now, between us, we know. For a disbeliever, he's confused. Why would I believe you, not the Shia? You know, why would I believe you, that you're saying that this guy deviated, and you're not the one who has deviated? Again, we want to be able not to convince a Muslim, because to us, alhamdulillah, this is a simple matter. Doesn't require any, we don't even think about it. But we're thinking in the context of da'wah. In da'wah, you are getting difficult questions, difficult situations, and giving any answer does not do the job. They will realize it. So when we want to give answer, we want to give a silencing answer. Remember how we dealt with the polygyny, right? And we gave examples. I mean, so much so that we said the man will probably say, listen, I need a second wife, right? Even if he's a Catholic. Because we had some very strong arguments that they cannot play with. And we can do the same thing with this issue. We want a strong answer now. Beautiful. Okay, so we have a point of distinction. The first point of distinction is we say, well, before I get to this point, there's a point before that. This was supposed to be the second point, JazakAllahu Khair, but at least you're there. There's a point which is more basic than that. Okay. No. That's an ayah you quoted, that this is what we're supposed to do, but we're not doing it.
Misinterpreting the Quran and Sunnah. Other things.
Listen, this is to me and you. He will tell you, but they're saying you are the one who is misinterpreting the Quran and Sunnah, not them. So to him, everything is a sheep. Now you know the wolf and you know the sheep. To him, everybody looks the same. So for him to believe you, because anyway, if he were to go to a sheikh, you think he's going to tell him, yeah, we're the one who are misinterpreting the Quran and Sunnah, the Sunni and Miyamiya. No. He's going to tell him, we are right, he's misguided. So it doesn't hold any water. Yes?
And in this time, then explain about Quran, and then you have to explain.
Now that is correct, but this is not always feasible. Not always doable. You cannot always grab every time someone asks questions, say, come with me, take him home, give him some shai, sit down, bring the Quran, bring the Sunnah. We want something that is immediate. Yes, this is long-term da'wah, right? Slowly but surely, you show him, look, this is what the Quran teaches, this is what these people are doing. We are doing the Quran and the Sunnah, they're not. Mafi mushkila. But this is long-term. Short-term, immediate, silencing response. He mentioned a fundamental point, but there's something more basic. You were revolving around it. You mentioned it actually, but you didn't make it the point.
Okay, the thing is, since we are talking about the Dawah purpose, the main concept of the first point would be to give a message of Tawheed.
Brother, time out. We, all of these people who have been coming here, I don't know if this is our way, always and forever. The Tawheed is no need to discuss that. This is inevitable. Tawheed we will mention. Tawheed is the first and last, and middle, everywhere. We're speaking about a particular point. When the Christians, example, Christians today, according to statistics, have 38,000 denominations. 38,000 different churches. Each church, not that the construction, meaning a church which follows a particular way of Christianity. They may have 50 of them, 100 of them branches, but there are 38,000 denominations of Christianity. And in Islam, we have, let's say, 10, 15, 20, whatever, right? Now, what is the main distinction between us and them? What is the first point that we say, listen, you try to make us look the same. You try to claim that your denominations of Christianity is equal to the denominations of Islam. This is what they're trying to claim. How do we refute that?
You teaching Islam is not in
the... Jazakallahu khair. The actual point that we base our discussion on is, listen, yes, we also have divided amongst ourselves. We have branched off into denominations, as you have. But the main difference between you and us is the fact that our revelation is preserved and yours is not. And they cannot negate that. Because in Christianity, for example, they have a Catholic, you know, the Catholics have their own Bible, which has 73 books. The book may contain a number of chapters. Okay, so in the Quran, we don't have it like this. We have ayah, surah, and juz, what we have made in juz. Make the chapter, the book in the Bible equal to a juz in the Quran. In the Catholic Bible, they have, let's say, 73 juz, okay, of their Bible, which they call the Word of God. To them, this is the revelation from Allah, which is preserved in everything. They believe without a doubt that everything in there is from God. The biggest opponent to Catholicism are the Protestants. How many books do they have in their Bible? 66. 66, not 67. They have 66 books in their Bible. That's seven book discrepancy between Catholicism and Protestantism. And each one of them claims that this Bible is the Word of God. Is this a problem or not? It's a problem. And no one can deny that. Say, listen, I understand if you're speaking to a Catholic. I know how you feel. But I know and you know that Protestants exist and their Bible is unlike yours. They claim that their Bible is the Word of God and you claim that your Bible is the Word of God. How do I know? Now, come to us. Do we have such a thing in the Quran? Do we have, you know, one mushaf in the kingdom which has 30 juz and the one in, you know, in China has 28? Have you ever come across something like this in your life? No. For 1400 years, what the revelation of Allah has been preserved. So we're not the same. This is very important. So your deviation is based on lack of revelation. Whereas our deviation, as one of the brothers mentioned, is because of other reasons which we will tackle right now. So the first and most fundamental point is, even though you divided and we have divided, you lost your resources, our resources are sound, intact and preserved. So the basis of comparison now are not the same. The basis of comparison are not the same. Beautiful. This takes us to the second point. What is the second point? You want to repeat? Or you forgot?
The Prophet Muhammad, they took with us, they have the same books, 73 books.
Exactly. We say, whatever you are telling me now is old news to me. You think you're giving me some information? You think you're teaching me about my religion? The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, told me 1400 years ago that we will divide. So this division is the what? The manifestation of the prophecy. Prophecy is giving information that will happen in the future. It has nothing to do with prophet, okay? Prophesying, it's not prophesizing, it's prophesying, which is when some prophet of God will say that in the future time, such and such thing will take place. This is called a prophecy. So the Prophet ﷺ prophesied 1400 years ago that this ummah will divide into 73 sects. And what you see today is a manifestation of the hadith. This is more of a reason to believe that our religion is correct. Because we have been told that this will happen. This is very fundamental, right? So you're not trying to scare me, because they want to try to put you down. You say, I'm not scared. And this is not a shock to me. We have been informed. Alhamdulillah. Even that, it was revealed to us by Allah. To show you that our revelation is preserved. We know that we were divided and we will divide. However, we have also been told that there's one group of these divisions that will be the one that will be following the orthodox teachings of Islam. So that is the point of distinction. Yes, there are Shias and Sufis, and we can name a number of groups and so on and so forth. However, we have references where we have a yardstick. Anytime someone presents something new, we have the Quran and the Sunnah with the understanding of the early generations to measure it by. If we find that this action is harmonious and compatible with these teachings, then this is in fact the group which is following the truth. If we find that they are contradicting these teachings, then this is when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had also told us, when he drew a line on this in the sand with his stick to Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu and some of the Sahaba who were there, and he told them, هَذَا صِرَاطُ اللَّهِ مُسْتَقِيمًا. This is the straight of Allah. This is the path of Allah, afwan, straight. ثُمَّ رَسَمَ خُطُوط عَلَى الْجَنْبِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. Then he drew lines on the sides, on the atraf of the line. وَهِي سَدْ هَذِهِ سُبُلْ لَيْسَ مِنْهَا سَبِيلٌ إِلَّا عَلَيْهِ شَيْطَانٌ يَدْعُوا إِلَيْهِ. And these are other paths. There isn't a single one except that there's a devil on the head calling to himself. Then he recited the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلْ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. Then he recited Allah's statement in the Quran, and that this is my straight path. So follow it, and do not follow other paths, otherwise it will mislead you from my path. So then, even though we have these divisions, we do have the reliable references which we can refer to, and we have the application of that by the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we have been told that this division will take place. So now the basis on which we are comparing ourselves to you are actually totally different. Is that clear? Who can repeat? Brother, point number one. You can't make it. Okay, inshallah. Brother, point number one. Anyone?
That our revelation is preserved and not like others.
Good. Our revelation, alhamdulillah, Allah's revelation is preserved intact. The Quran is available from time, from back then until today, untouched. No one will be able to change it. Second point, you're referring to the notebook, huh?
The Prophet orally informs us that we are going to divide into others.
Right. So yeah, good, good. So this is the point of strength, where you show them that you're not weak, because they will be coming at you trying to, you know, say, you know, you guys have too many people, you know, too many groups. They think that this is the point where they're going to put you down. This is when you rise, you know. Say, oh, no, I'm not afraid. I know. This has been given to me already. This has been revealed already. And then you use this point. These are the two fundamental points that we must have intact before we go into any further details. We all understand them. Do you think each and every one of you here is able to relay and re-convey this information to some non-Muslim in the case he's asked? Okay, alhamdulillah. Now we would like some, what they call, supporting details. This was the main idea. You know, have you ever written an essay before? Right? Okay, maybe you don't like English. Fine. This was the main idea. Now we want supporting details. Now we want other little things to further prove our point, to further support our position. Yes? Yes. Correct. Correct. Yeah, this would be good if we were dealing strictly with a Christian and we wanted to prove to them the reality about Jesus and his mother Mary from the Quranic or the Islamic perspective. But we are dealing strictly with Ahzab, sects. You know, the kuffar say, you know, you have too many ahzab, and you claim that you have revelation. Why are you dividing? So this is the point. Good point. We will use this in the future, inshallah, when we deal with the Christians. But what else? One of you had mentioned, ignorance, lack of knowledge, right? Very important. We have to say, listen, and another brother mentioned not judging Muslims, Islam, by the actions of Muslims. Say, listen, excuse me, like in any other religion in the world, when you go right now to Christianity, you will find that the Pope, you know this Pope, if you've ever seen his images, you will think you're looking at a human devil, a'udhu billah. And when you see his image, it's just scary. And this is supposed to be the holiest man. He is worshipped besides Allah. His Ta'ud, the Pope, right, of the Catholic Church. The worst, among the worst denominations of the Catholics. The Pope, not that long ago, made a statement, okay, wherein he declared that the only true Christian church is the Catholic Church. What does that mean? This is what we call in Islam, takfir. What he's saying, that the Protestants, the Jehovah Witnesses, you know, the born agains, all of these other denominations are not Christians. The only true Christian church is the Catholic Church. Meaning all of you, kuffar. All of you are not Christians. This is a Christian doing takfir on Christians like him. Okay? Now this is important. So you will know that the position that they hold. On the other hand, the Protestants, where did that come from? Because they protested to the ideas that they were being populated or being spread and propagated by the Catholic Church, where they had the hierarchy and they had men, you know, the priests, and things of this nature which the Protestants don't necessarily agree with. So they protested against them, they became the Protestants. And you can go back to the history of Christianity so you can know more about this if you're interested, that is. Now, Protestants declare the Catholic Church to be a disbelieving church. These people are idolaters. We Greek, they call them mushrikeen, they consider them to be, you know, worshipping asnam. They're Protestants. If you go to a born-again church, you will not find any statues of Jesus or Mary or the saints. They don't have any statues. Because they believe that the worship of statues is a form of idolatry. You go to a Catholic church and you just see, all you see is images and people worshipping these images besides Allah. So now these two churches have clashes and each one of them does takfir on the other. What is the point here? That the same way people differ, the Protestants consider the Catholics to be kuffar and the Catholics consider the Protestants to be kuffar. This is the same thing that happens among all human beings. This has nothing to do with religion. This is what humans' personal views. So you will find among the Muslims those who may hold a personal view. When they express this view, they express it in the name of themselves or the Islam. Islam, in the name of Islam. And in the name of Islam, they wind up dividing the Ummah due to what? Ignorance and lack of knowledge. So we don't blame Islam for the actions, because the brother quoted a verse earlier, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, and hold on to the rope of Allah all together, and do not divide, do not separate. It's prohibited. Allah made it prohibited that the Muslims divide themselves into groups and denominations. Even though it was told and it was prophesied by the Prophet ﷺ that it would happen, it was mentioned in the context of what? Criticism, not praiseworthy. It wasn't something he was happy about. It was something that is detestable. However, Allah decreed that it would happen. But he ﷺ told us that the group which will be victorious, which is the one that follows the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions and the tabi'een, strictly the way they lived Islam, the way they understood Islam, the way they practiced Islam, this is the Islam we follow. With names or without names. Because going into the issue of naming within Islam is a headache. It's a big headache. Because I can call myself X, belonging to X group, okay? And 2 weeks from now, some Sufis will come and call themselves the same name. And so, now how do the people know who's the true X? I've been corresponding with someone through email. A Muslim, or maybe Allah knows his reality. It's puzzling me. I don't believe the nature of the information that we are relaying to one another. This person insists on the most deviant of beliefs. Shirk and grave worshipping and tawassul and, you know, things that are unacceptable. And he ends his emails with the statement, Allah and His Rasul know best. And this is haram. Can you say right now, Allah and His Rasul know best? You say, Akhi, where's your wallet? Can you say, Allah wa Rasuluhu A'lam? Does the Messenger of Allah know where your wallet is? Because if you believe so, then you are making the knowledge of the Rasul equal to the knowledge of Allah. And what did we need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? A'udhu billah. This is shirk. The quality of ilm, Allah's knowledge, omniscient. Allah is the omniscient. The quality of omniscience, having knowledge of everything, is only to Allah. Right? وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. No one has any authority. So to say Allah wa Rasuluhu A'lam today, regarding some worldly matter, is not allowed. When was that allowed? When the Prophet ﷺ would say to the Sahaba, do you know such and such and such a thing? He would ask him a question. Well, he knows the answer. But the way he used to teach alayhi salatu salam was what? By making the people excited. He wanted them to be interested in the information, so he would present it in the form of a question. He said, do you know such and such? They would say, Allahu wa Rasuluhu A'lam. Because he knew. Then he will give him the answer immediately. So in that context, when he wanted to teach him something which was already revealed to him by Allah, they would say to him, alayhi salam, Allah wa Rasulhu alam, because while he was alive, he was receiving revelation, and he would ask him about something which he knew, because he was being prepared to teach them. Is that clear? So today you can say Allah wa Rasulhu alam, because he is dead, alayhi salatu salam. Allahu alam only. Only Allah knows everything, everywhere in the world. This belief that is spread among the Muslims that the Messenger of Allah sees us like Allah, and he's observing us like Allah, and he's with us in this sense, which is very common among Muslims today, is shirk. It's giving the Messenger of Allah the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this person, besides the many crazy things he mentions, when I made a comment about this, you know, what was his response at the end? He says, you know, he claimed that I'm mistaken because I'm not following the way of Allah and the Messenger and the Sahaba. Him with his shirk and his nonsense things that the Sahaba never did, right? He believes that he's following he understands the Quran and the Sunnah according to the Sahaba, and I am deviant. Nothing mushkila. It's not about me and him. What is the point? The point is, when you open this door, everybody will make claims. The title will be misused. So even though there's a long discussion among the scholars, some have said you must call yourself, I'm not going to mention any names because everyone is mature enough to understand what I'm aiming at. You must be this, right? And if you don't say this, and you don't attribute yourself, and you don't ascribe to this, you're not one of them. You're not one of them. You're deviant, you're mubtadi', you're not. We say, this is incorrect. Even if some people say it, even if some people entertain it, this is incorrect. At the end of the day, it is the methodology, not the name. If I came and said, by the way, don't call me Wajdi anymore, I am Dr. Wajdi. Doctor. And woe to you from calling me Wajdi, you know, without a doctor first. But now this is a nice title. But what if I was not a doctor? If I were not a doctor, does that name mean anything? Does it mean anything? What is important? Me being a true doctor or you calling me a doctor? Me being a true doctor, right? Having a name without the essence is not only it's worthless, it's bad. Because now you say, you're a doctor? And you cannot even, you know, treat a fractured bone? I'm supposed to be, you know, someone who specializes in, you know, bones and whatever. I'm sorry, I don't know how to deal with that. What kind of doctor are you? Why are you telling us to call you doctor if you're not a doctor? You see what I'm saying? It is what? Repulsive. But if I didn't tell you that I were a doctor, just call me Wajdi. Let's say I'm a humble man, right? You know, today this is hardly found, where someone, you know, is a doctor and doesn't want to have the title of doctor. But anyways, but let's say I don't like it, right? I'm very humble, I like to play my plain name. But I was a doctor in reality. And the situation with, you know, somebody was injured here, came, I gave them the complete treatment. And brothers were like, brother, mashallah, are you a doctor? I say, well, yeah. Well, how would you feel? Mashallah, the brother's a doctor, man. No, I'm not a doctor, by the way. Huh? Don't think that I'm trying to, you know, go around trying to have you think I'm a doctor. I have nothing to do with the medicine. Don't even ask me. If I give you Panadol, don't even take it from me. But if I give you the black seed, inshallah, that's fine. It's from the Sunnah. So what is the point? The point is the reality. Today, we have individuals who love the name. Brother, I am. Brother, you have nothing to do with only the name. It's just a step on the side of the head that I belong to X organization. We are the carriers of the flag, and we are the blah, 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 blah. And the truth of the matter is, this person has nothing to do with the religion in reality. It becomes a bunch of show. It's a show that some people put on. Now, among these people who belong to these organizations are people who are actually following the teachings. And alhamdulillah. So then what I'm saying is, what we care about is the brother, even if he has a title, Let's say some of the scholars say you need to have a title. I'm not going to debate that. But what is important is that with the title, then we must have what? The essence. Have the reality and the title, barakallahu fiqh. But having the title without the reality is unacceptable. So, when we open the door for names, we had individuals claiming to be people who they're not. And then the hizb or the group itself became confusing to the people. Akhi, you said you are this group, and these people said they are this group. I'm sorry, which one of you is this group? The individual that, you know, who's sending the emails. To him, he's the true one following the Salaf al-Saleh. And I am a muqtadir, I'm a crazy individual who's Wahhabi. In his mind, he may have a group of people like him who believe they're following the Quran and the Sunnah according to the way of the Salaf, even though his understanding of the way of the Salaf is going to the grave of Abdul Qadir al-Jilani and seeking aid from him. Okay, so now what? And he calls himself a name. He has a group, he has an institute, organization. They put up pamphlets with a title. Misleading the people from the path of Allah. So what do we need? We need knowledge. How do we know which group? This guy or that guy, these people or that people? Knowledge. What we know, the Quran and the Sunnah, anytime someone brings an innovation, it will become clear. And we will no longer focus on the title. If someone says, I belong to this group, I say, don't tell me about the name. I accept that. Show me what you're following. What do you believe? If his belief is harmonious with the title, Jazakallahu khair. And you're following opinion of some of the ulama who say naming or titling ourselves is fine, and this is between you and your alim and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I may agree with you, I may disagree with you, but I don't make this an issue. I don't make this an issue. However, if you make a claim, but you're not supporting it with in fact, then this becomes terrible for the da'wah. And so these we need to know, because you may need to deal with this with a non-Muslim. Having knowledge of the situation, when we say that we are following a particular way, brothers in Islam, we must know what this way is. That means that we must acquire the knowledge which is related to this particular subject matter. When we speak of Tawheed, as the brother was reminding us, Jazakallahu khairan, the first and foremost, are we able to convey Tawheed? Who can give us a brief summary? Huh? Somebody, he sees you, you know, you speak English, he sees you have a beard or something like that, he knows you're involved in da'wah, and he knows a kafir, a Hindu or a Christian. He says, brother, please, I want you to come with me and give da'wah to this man. You say, okay, alhamdulillah, no problem, I'm come with you, and you actually go with this man. And you sit down in front of a kafir. He said, faddal. Now, go ahead and tell him about Tawheed. What do you say? No answer? No one is brave enough? Huh? Don't be afraid of me. Huh? Break it down. If you were a mechanic, excuse me, before you continue. If you were a mechanic, and someone came, you know, brought you a car that is overheating, okay? You look at the car, and you say, your car is overheating. He says, I know. That's why I came to you. It's a mechanic. Why is my car overheating? Well, the car is overheating. My friend, I know that the car is overheating. What is the problem? What do you need to do? You need to explain. Well, look, this is a radiator here. And this is a hose. So you see this hose? There's a hole. There's a crack in this hose. So the coolant or the water is leaking. It's not going around to the engine. And because of that, blah, 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 blah. Once you make this explanation, now he understands. He knew the car was overheating. Now everybody knows Islam is tawheed, tawheed. Okay, tayyib. We gave him a title, Islam is tawheed. And what does that mean? Break it down. You want to do it or you want to do it? Or you want to help each other? Do a joint duo. Huh? You begin, you finish, inshallah. It's okay, even if you make a mistake, we will fix it, we will correct it, we will build on it. We want to be able to give da'wah, because this is da'wah. At the end of the day, when we say that, you know, we give a da'wah, we need to be able to do it at the time of seriousness now. Now this is all easy because we're in a masjid, we're brothers, alhamdulillah, whether you get it right or wrong, nothing mushkila. But in in the situation where you're sitting with a non-Muslim and you need to explain Islam to him, and we can't just be puzzled. And we must have something good to say. Anyone?
Worshipping God without associating.
Worshipping God without associating anyone with Him. Who is God? Allah. Who is Allah? The only one God. This is redundant. You know, you're taking me back and forth. Who is God? Allah. Who is Allah? The only one God. Surah Al-Ikhlas. Alhamdulillah. One of the most practical ways of conveying Tawheed to a kafir is Surah Al-Ikhlas. Because we mentioned before, it will deal with almost all the religions in the world. Why? Let's break it down. Let's try to use Surah Al-Ikhlas for the da'wah. First, of course, after A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem, Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Who can translate this accurately? Not you, Muhammad. Wrong. What? One and only. Better. There's even something better than all. Unique. Alhamdulillah. Ma'alaysh ya shaykh. Ma fi mushkila. Why is it wrong? Because what is the, in now you go out to do business. When you want to say one, what is the word in Arabic that we use? Wahid. What does the ayah say? Ahad. Not the same. It didn't say kul huwallahu wahid. It said kul huwallahu ahad. Important. So they're not the same. This is why we refused one. Because one can say, and after one, there's two and three. Nothing special about one. Furthermore, one is usual. For example, I have one phone. And you have one phone. What's so special about my phone? Nothing. But if I said, I have one and only phone, better yet, I have a unique phone, what does that mean? No one has it. My phone is unlike all of the phones of the world. Even if there are trillions and trillions and trillions of them, when I say the word unique, meaning it is one of a kind. There's no second, and there's no one with another one like my one. Okay, I confused you with the ones now. Is that clear? So then, this is important. Because a Christian will tell you that God is one. But when you inquire, what do you mean one? He will say, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three gods are one God. That's not one anymore. That's three, right? And a Hindu may have another set of ideas about the one true God, supposedly, which manifests in different ways and has body parts and so on and so forth. And you know, we have Vishnu and Shiva and blah blah blah. Again, so everybody thinks there's one God, but this one God is so human, so similar, so ununique, that it's really a worthless God. What makes Allah Azza wa Jal the true God? Uniqueness. So the first thing is, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, is say it is Allah, the one who's unique, or the unique one. However you would like to rephrase it, because we're trying to translate the meaning and not only the terminology and the words. So then, what? Okay, now with this, who do you refute? With this, who do you refute among the kuffar? The mushriks. The mushrikeen. On the top of the list. Because when you say that Allah Azza wa Jalla is unique, that means everything related to Him is unique. So the idea of having an intercessor becomes void because Allah is unique. Because here's what they will tell you. They will say to you, why do you disagree with shafa'ah? Intercession. They will say to you, look, if there was a big boss in a company, the big mudir, right? And there was a janitor, someone who cleans the floor. Can he, in this today, in this world, can he just walk in to the mudir's office? What does he have to do? If he has a complaint, what does he have to do? He informs someone who's ahead of him, and they go through a chain, right? They go through a chain until they get to the mudir. Why? Because this is the way it goes. Someone who will intercede on his behalf, because he is nothing, and the manager or the regional manager is something important, he has more authority to speak to the CEO of the company. So they say, if this is what we do in our life, then why do you refuse that with Allah? It's the same thing. I'm a bad man, I'm a bad Muslim, I have so many sins, I'm so impure that I don't have the audacity or the nerve or the, you know, to try to go to Allah directly. I have to go through someone who Allah loves. And Allah loves the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He loves him very much. He loves the awliya very much. So I go, I hope you're not being convinced. Astaghfirullah. Brothers, this is what he will be saying. This is not what we believe. Huh? Don't get too excited with my speech and say, oh yeah. No, this is a no-no. But this is what they will say. So why can't I go through them? We say, Ahi, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ. This is creation, man. This is the creation. Yes, if you want to go to the CEO of the creation, you have to go through this, you know, chain of commands. You don't do this with Allah. Because if you do this with Allah, then you're making Allah like His creation. And this is shirk. Because Allah said He's unique. Meaning the way things are done with Him are unlike the way of the creation. Is that clear? Beautiful. And we can go on with that. But let's go to the next ayah. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدٍ. Who can translate accurately into English or Urdu? I don't know Urdu, but someone will translate for me. الصَّمَدٍ. If you heard it from me before, don't answer. Don't answer. If you've heard it from me before or from other people before, don't answer. For those who've never heard this before, and you're giving da'wah to a kafir, and you want to say, oh, Allahu Samad. Okay, what does that mean? How do you translate that? Benefactor. You heard it from before? Okay, self-sufficient, good, that's one possible translation.
Absolutely.
You've heard it before, man. No way! You got it right on point. I believe you. MashaAllah. They gave the most accurate two definitions. This brother must be a big da'i, but he never told us before. In fact, the one most common one is absolute. You know the word absolutely? What does it mean? Are you happy? Oh, absolutely. Oh, I'm very happy. This is absolutely ridiculous. What does it mean? In the complete, ultimate sense. So absolute meaning the self-sufficient who everyone depends on, but he himself depends on none. Everyone depends on him and he doesn't depend on anyone. This is what as-samad. With that, who do you refute? He depends on none and everyone depends on him. Sustenance, provision, guidance is from Allah. He doesn't need anything from anyone. مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَيْنِ يُطْعِمُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَالرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. I need not of them to feed me, nor من رزق sustenance, nor do I need them to feed me. It is Allah the one who is full of power, full of might, the sustainer, the provider. Who do you refute with Allah as-Samad?
Christians.
Christians, why?
Jesus Christ, then he asks his father, ultimate
God. Right.
Like this.
Well, among the things which we can, yes, refute the Christians with is that Samad means the one who's independent. And the Christians claim that God was in need to beget a son whom he called Jesus, so he may expiate the sins of those who accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. According to Christianity, God created the creation and Adam and Eve sinned. They became sinful, and the sin which they committed was inherited by the children of Adam. God did not forgive it. When the sin became so huge, so big, regular sacrifice like that of Abraham with the son Ishmael was not enough. It required divine sacrifice. So God begot His Son Jesus, whom somehow was equal to Him, and He allowed Him to be, He caused Him to be crucified, killed, so God can please Himself and forgive the creation. This is what weakness. Because what do we believe? If Allah wants to forgive someone, He does. There's no need to bring a son, get him killed, and go through all this process for some sins to be forgiven. In fact, Allah told us in the Quran that He repented, that He accepted the repentance of Adam. فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. Adam received some reminders and guidance from Allah, and Allah accepted his repentance. And that's it. So with Allah Samad, we can refute the Christians. And we can refute who else?
This one you can take for Allah.
Why do you want to confine something that is vast? لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ is also. But if we can also use Allah Samad, why would you say no?
He's self-sufficient and independent. That is the link between this and that.
The link is that the Christians claim that God needed, He was in need to beget a son. And through the son, all of the work problems of the world were resolved. This entails the weakness of Allah, the dependence of Allah on Jesus, the need for Him to come up with a solution, because He doesn't have any solutions, right? So this negates al-Samadiyya. You follow me? Of course, the most strongest refutation is the next verse. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. What does لَمْ يَلِدْ mean? It's confusing. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. لَمْ يَلِدْ. Does it mean he was not begotten or he begets not? He begets not. وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. He is not begotten. Good. لَمْ يَلِدْ. He did not beget anything. وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. He was not begotten. Meaning he neither delivered any children nor did anyone create Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is that clear? طيب. With that, who do we refute? Christians. Why? Obviously, he did not have any children, Jesus is not the Son of God, and Mary is not the mother of God. Who else? The Jews, who said that who is the Son of God? Uzair is the Son of God. Who else? Hindus. Why? Who else? The mushrikeen of Quraysh. What did they claim? What did the mushrikeen of Quraysh claim? No. Subhanallah. Concerning begetting, what did the kuffar of Quraysh claim? What? Jazakallahu khairan. They claim that the angels are the daughters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go back to Surah As-Saffat. Go back to the Surah Al-Isra. You know, these were refuted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And many different occasions, Allah refuted the kuffar who said that Allah has said that the angels are the daughters of Allah. And Allah refuted that by saying they don't accept a female for themselves. When they get a female, they bury her alive. They love men. So they refuse to attribute females to them, but they attribute them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. see that the angels are the daughters of Allah. Allah says, أَشَهِدُوا خَلْقَهُمْ. Huh? Did they witness their creation to say that the angels are the daughters of Allah? Subhanallah al-Azim, this is a huge claim. So لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ accused the Jews and the Christians and the Hindus and the Mushrikeen. See Surah Al-Ikhlas, Tawheed. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. What does it mean? Huh? There's nothing like him, or there's nothing like unto him, or there's nothing equal to him, or there's nothing co-equal to him, whatever you like to choose, right? This summarizes all of the ones that were mentioned before. Because he is unique, because he is absolute, because he did not beget, nor was he begotten, there's nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That makes him the true God that deserves to be worshipped. And so with that you refute all of the above and the Muslims. The Muslims who say that Allah is like the creation, who give Allah human attributes. And those who deny Allah's attributes, those who refuse to believe that Allah has a face, they refuse to believe that Allah has hands, they refuse to believe that Allah has eyes, they refuse to believe that Allah has fingers. But these are in the Quran and the Sunnah. You cannot deny that. The reason why they deny them is because their idea of Allah is that He is like a creation. So when you say that Allah has a face, they insist on imagining a human face. And when they are unable to do so, they say that no, there must be no face to Allah. You see? And this is the error that they fell into. The other extreme, they say Allah is like the creation. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, what do we say? We believe where Allah described Himself within the Quran, but we also believe in وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. There's nothing equal to Allah, subhanAllah. What are you imagining, man? You are unable to imagine. You will never be able to imagine. So you don't imagine, but you don't deny what Allah said. You don't deny a clear verse in the Quran or a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Summarizing, to sum it up, because the time is late. When someone comes to you and tries to criticize the denominations or the division among the Muslims, we say to them, my friend, the first distinction between you and I is our preserved revelation versus yours. No religion on earth has preserved revelation, nor do they claim it. Because we'll be able to prove it scientifically and historically that this is not the case. Point number two, this is old information for me, which have been told to us, subhanAllah. I knew this already. Point number three, we have also been told which one will be the saved group, which one will be the one that will be truly following Islam. And we know their characteristics, and we know their attitude, and we know their behavior, and we know their biographies, and it has been preserved until today. We know the four a'imma and others. Everything has been preserved and contained. Fourthly, what the Muslims do does not mean that it is correct, because we have been told to hold on to the rope of Allah altogether and not to divide. The fact that the Muslims are negating this teaching is a problem with the individuals, not with the religion of Islam. So you have a problem with the Muslims dividing, but you cannot criticize Islam for division, because Islam does not allow division. These are the four points, and you can add more. There's room for more, but as we begin and end at all the time, Tawheed is what we really need to know. Once we know Tawheed, and we convey that which we conveyed earlier, we have done the job. If they understand the sectarianism or they don't, this is another discussion. Our job is what? You understand? La ilaha illallah. If you do, I've done my da'wah. So the first thing we build is our da'wah skills in terms of Tawheed. Then we, alongside with that, we try to, you know, empower ourselves with the many arguments and logical arguments, textual evidences from the Quran and Sunnah to prove our point. So do you believe that you'll be able to do this, inshallah? This is a strong enough argument to negate anyone who tries to criticize them for sectarianism. Alhamdulillah. So jazakumullahu khairan for your patience.